This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, this morning we'll be visiting with Rick Radliff, the Senior Manager of Agronomy Sciences for DuPont Pioneer. Rick and I had a conversation about Illinois agronomy and a soil fertility study that DuPont Pioneer just completed. Rick, we're going to start off with a kind of a general agronomy update for Illinois. Some different things have been happening throughout the growing season, but right now things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, I understand from our agronomists that work that part of Illinois, south central Illinois, that the crops, certainly planting conditions were not optimum. Things got in a little bit late in some portions of your backyard, but folks eventually got the crop in. I know we had some dry weather thereafter and some challenges with some weed control and some slow crop growth and development. The rain started in, and from what I gather from our agronomists on the ground, crop shaping up to be in pretty good shape. We do hear a little bit about some, in the last 7 to 10 days, some sudden death syndrome occurring, and certainly that's going to warrant a conversation as we look down the road to 2017 with your seedsman, your Pioneer sales rep, if you buy Pioneer. But right now, there's not a lot that we can do about it, but we certainly need to take that into consideration and let that guide us in our decisions as we look at 2017 for our soybean product decisions that we're making.
Just a question concerning the sudden death syndrome. Does the time that that affects the soybean plants depend on what unit of the growing cycle they're in? Does it come earlier than later? Maybe just a kind of an agronomist point of view on that.
So the conditions that set you up for a sudden death syndrome year are a year when you get in early, plant beans relatively early, then we have an abundance of rainfall, and right after that, that plant sucks up that moisture, sucks the pathogen up into the plant, and then when things dry out, that plant sits there, that soybean plant does, and the pathogen within it. Then when we have rainfall then that occurs a little later in the season, it pushes that pathogen up into the leaf tissue, and it's about then, this time of the year, that we see an explosion of that if we continue to have rain, and it just kind of sometimes a top die back and a lot of leaves dying in that upper canopy, soybeans, again, at this time of the year. But that infection starts shortly after planting when that soybean is germinating and emerging.
And how often can this occur? Can this occur annually, biannually? How often can you see it?
It can certainly occur every year. However, you know, environmental conditions are a key factor. Also, a thing that we need to keep in mind is understanding the inherent tolerance or resistance to sudden death syndrome. And that varies by soybean variety. So understanding the soybean variety you have, trying to anticipate what conditions there may be, and then even choosing a good seed treatment to treat that soybean variety with, all of those things can have an impact either negatively or setting you up for a better year if you take all those things into consideration. Again, variety selection and seed treatment. Ilevo, for example, has set the new standard for protection against sudden death syndrome and actually soybean cyst nematode as well. So there are options that we do have to manage this disease, things that we didn't have at hand even just a short 3 years ago.
And all things, I'm sure, that can be discussed with a Pioneer agronomist to help you do what's best for your fields at home.
Absolutely. We're well staffed with our Pioneer agronomists, also our account managers, and certainly all of our sales reps in your geography, Litchfield and surrounding counties.
Something else we want to touch on, DuPont Pioneer just completed a soil fertility study, and that was done, I believe, throughout the whole state of Illinois. So share with us some of the findings that you came across.
Certainly. This year, what we did is we started and we asked growers, what do you aspire to 3 years from now in terms of incremental yield gain? They told us that for corn, they told us that for beans, and we asked, how do you plan to get there? In both cases, for corn and beans, the answer was better varieties or better corn hybrids, one of the two. But shortly thereafter, the second answer was better management of phosphorus and potassium. So we said, how much do we know about phosphorus and potassium? And is there an opportunity to do a good assessment across the Corn Belt, including Illinois, including southern Illinois, to determine what the current levels across a macro level, across many acres, are for those two essential nutrients? So that's what we did. So this past summer, we took 22,000 samples across 12 states, including right in south central, southwestern Illinois. And what we found was, and let's just make these comments specific to the state of Illinois and your part of the world, is that we're trending downwards on the phosphorus levels. that's even a little greater concern, the potassium, but potassium also is as well. So what we've seen in the last 5 to 7 years is I'll call it a mining of those two nutrients, more so for phosphorus, but even potassium across the Corn Belt, including that portion of Illinois. So once we get to Iowa, we start moving eastward, potassium becomes phosphorus tends to become more of an issue. As we go west, tends to be potassium, for example, in Iowa. But in your part of the world, in Litchfield and all those counties surrounding, generally speaking, we have to be conscious of both, because we're seeing a lower test values for both phosphorus, potassium in Illinois, specifically around Litchfield and surrounding areas.
You mentioned a mining of those nutrients, which basically, if you think of mining, you're taking that out of the ground, out of the soil. So tips or advice for farmers on what they need to be doing to help prevent that and help keep the soil healthy?
So, for example, in Illinois, what we saw was that about 44% of our samples that we took were slightly below optimum or well below optimum for phosphorus, and about 35% of those for potassium were below optimum. So one of the things we need to consider is in 16 this year, 15 and 14, and even in 2013, we had some pretty good conditions for crop growth productivity. So higher trending higher on yields. So the higher yields we have, the more nutrients we remove. And so farmers, growers need to be considering, am I fertilizing adequately to build my soil? But even more importantly than that, in today's environmental or economic conditions and even environmental conditions, I at least need to be ensuring that I'm replacing what I'm removing. And with the high yield trends that we've had, we need to be cognizant of that. And I know a lot of growers face a lot of points of decision, but that's one that if the trend continues, again, this is across a large geography, individual farming conditions can be different, but if the trend continues, that'll put some pressure on our upper end yield potential because of the downward trend in nutrient availability for these two macronutrients, phosphorus and potassium.
And ways to manage that, maybe one of the most obvious, which is what you did, was taking these soil samples, but that's something that farmers could be doing in their own fields.
Yes. Almost all farmers are very familiar with those fertilizer suppliers that they work with. Most growers oftentimes will sample on a four-year basis. As we think about all the nutrients that we're removing with these higher yields that we've had, the higher yield trend, every other year is something to consider. Another thing that I would share is that we've launched our Encirca fertility offer 2 years ago, and the uptake on that has been very good. And what that can do for a grower is to look at not just spreading the same rate of fertilizer across a given field, but understand the dynamics, the soil tests across that field, and actually apply product where you'll get the greatest return on investment on a per-acre basis on a given field. So variable-rate fertilizer spreading, that's a great place to start. But what Encirca Fertility does is even provides greater guidance, taking that variable-rate fertility up against where the greatest opportunities for yield are in that given field, along with where you're most inclined to see a higher yield response from fertilization. So we're excited about it. There's folks here today that are talking to a lot of growers about it, a lot of interest, and that's really the next step that I would recommend for a grower who has a keen interest in understanding more and getting good guidance.
Rick Radliff, Senior Manager of Agronomy Sciences for DuPont Pioneer. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.